all about you, Jesus. How come up for the things I've given? When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Go find somebody. Y'all go ahead and get some rhythm and blues going here. It sounded good. I was in Starbucks, and they started singing, playing rhythm and blues, and it said, Paul and Silas were in prison, nobody to bail them out. It was awesome, man. It said, but the Lord. This is Starbucks. Come on, stand up. I'm not sure what they're doing, but they're doing it. Stand up. God is awesome all the time. Amen. I know it's rainy. I know it's messy. And I know that he can take all my stuff. That was funny. What's bad? You know you're a preacher if jokes. I don't know if you've ever heard them or not, but there was one that said, you know you might be a preacher if you ever lost your sermon and 30 seconds before the service you found it and found out it was last week's sermon. Yeah, I had some guys in the church I pastored in Benson. These guys were terrible about doing practical jokes. I mean, these guys would pull wires out of people's cars. I mean, these guys were tough. These guys played hardball. I mean, hardball. If you couldn't handle it, you're going to get your feelings hurt. I mean, these guys were tough. And I remember one Sunday, I'd laid my sermon down, and I was playing the bass, and the guy walked by to, you know, give me a high five, and when he left, I go try and grab my sermon, and it's gone. The boy had taken my sermon. I'm looking all over for what he said out in the congregation going, Yeah, I remember, that's bad. I remember going to I was preaching a funeral, and it was a very terrible funeral, and everybody was already very emotional. This is one where the cancer had literally eat the lady's face. I mean, out. There was just a big hole. It was terrible. And we were trying to do the funeral, and everybody was so emotional. And I mean, anybody's dying is emotional anyway, but especially something like that. And so I was in the back room, and I was trying to, they said, and it was time to start. And so I wanted to clean my hands, so I walked out. And so I walked in the bathroom, and there was a thing that said, Germex. So I have a Bible under this arm, a sermon under this arm, and hit that Germex and went like this and realized somebody had taken Germex out and had put Dawn in it. So here I am walking to the pulpit with Dawn. That does not dry up on your hands. Amen. Are you blessed today? Well, we're going to talk about something that's so relevant. And matter of fact, it goes right along with communion. It goes right along with these attitudes we've been talking about. We've been talking about attitudes now for several weeks, and we're going to be talking about a few more attitudes. But before, I thought the Lord just spoke to me very plainly, very, very in my face, and said, maybe it's time for a booster shot in the middle of the sermon on attitude. I said, okay, Lord. And so I was trying to ask the Lord what he would talk about. And actually, you may get a little bit of kick out of this. I don't know. Getting rid of the bad taste in my mouth. How many's ever had a bad taste in your mouth? It's tough, ain't it? Yeah. I'll go into it a little bit further. But bad taste, I'm actually talking about sometimes you said the wrong thing or the right thing at the wrong time, whatever. But when you said it, it actually came out wrong. How many ever said anything and it came out wrong? How many ever said anything you didn't mean? You said you thought it was the right thing to say, and as you were saying it, you wish you could suck it right back in. Amen? Because you thought it was going to help, and you realized that it was a fire. You thought it was a feather coming out of your mouth, but the person received it as a ton of bricks. So we're going to talk about that for our own self and for others. Stand for the reading of the Word. Turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. You know this one. It's probably one of the most quoted besides John 3:16 and Psalm 23. This is probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible, and we're going to try to dig into it deep today, okay? This you can think that it's going to be bad, but it's not bad. This is going to be better than you think. All right? Ready? Y'all say it with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let me just give a little possum track talk. Words kill, and words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to help us, Lord, to learn of you, Lord, and to take care of business for you, God. And Lord, in order to take care of business for you, we got to be built up on the inside before we can give it on the outside. And Lord, this is one of those give it on the inside things today, Lord, so that we can relay it on the outside. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. Church said, they get somebody and tell them, if you're not here after what I'm here after, you'll be here after I'm gone. Tell them. Now there was two snakes were slithering down the road, and one snake turned to the other and said, are we poisonous? The other snake replied, I don't know why you asked. The first snake replied, because I just bit my lip. I know. The first time I heard, I laughed so hard I kicked the slat out my crib. Amen. So again, we don't realize sometimes how poisonous stuff sounds coming out of our mouth. Amen. So let's just go here kind of quickly. I'm not even going to read all the scriptures. I've got a paperback in the back that's got all these scriptures and then some. You can go and get one of those scriptures on the way out. The papers. I actually forgot about it before I was writing on it. So when I wrote on it, I put a note on it. So you're getting the one that I've actually got with notes on it. But before I wrote more than one little bitty old check, I realized what I was doing. So you got one with a check on it. Amen. Not a check with money in it, just a check. Okay, so don't try. So don't try to check it. Don't try to cash it. Is the words leaving your mouth leaving a bad taste? I'm talking about to you. See, when it's coming from me, and I say the wrong thing at the wrong time, the wrong thing at the right time, when I just know that I've opened my mouth and I've inserted my foot, I've done it so much I got Converse, a tattoo Converse on the side of my tongue. Amen. Nike on the other side. I taste leather sometime when I'm talking. Amen. When it's coming from me and I'm giving it, it gets a bad taste in my mouth. There's a lot of us in here, if we'll just be honest, literally be honest, we'll say, yeah, there's times where I have a bad taste in my mouth. I can't blame anybody but, amen? Don't try to blame it on somebody. You made me do it. No, they didn't. You made me talk that way. No, they didn't. You have a choice every day how you engage this little bitty thing called the tongue. The Bible says it's like a rudder. It will steer a great big old ship. You get rid of the rudder, the ship is helpless. So, bad taste in your mouth. Then sometimes, get ready. If there's a bad taste in your mouth, can you imagine what everybody else is smelling? Bad breath. Sometimes we're talking to people, and we think that we're giving them, doing them a favor, we're helping them out, we're going to, you know, usually if somebody comes to you and says, it's none of my business, but, go ahead and hold your nose. It's none of my business, but, now there's some people really will help you when they say that, but let's say rule of thumb, when you hear that it's none of my business, then now I'm not giving it, I'm getting it. Either way, it's time to spit it out. Y'all say spit it out. Spit it out. Look, somebody say spit it out. Amen. I heard somebody make that noise. Spit it out. Amen. That there's a cemetery in Ireland. Literally, this is the real thing. This isn't the real. I didn't take the real picture of it. But there's a cemetery in Ireland, and there's a tombstone with the following scripture. Here rest in silent clay, Mrs. Arabella Young, who on the 21st of May began to hold her tongue. I got to say that one again. All right. Here rests in silent clay, Mrs. Arabella Young, who on the 21st of May began to hold her tongue. In other words, she did not stop talking until they took the life went out of her. That's what they're going to say about me too, amen? I found some good quotes here from the Bible, in other words, and I'm going to tell you some of these quotes, because you know, words are powerful. Amen? Here, this is awesome right here. The tongue is the only tool that grows sharper with constant use. Amen. Washington Irving said that. Jesus said, or it was said of Jesus, no one ever spoke the way this man speaks, John 7:46. There's a reason why, and we're going to talk about that. It was said of God, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth things which be not as though they were. Wow. You know, when God found Gideon, Gideon was hiding and threshing wheat, hiding from the Midianites. And God came and said, you mighty man of valor. He was a big chicken. But God called him a mighty man of valor. Why? Because God doesn't look at just where you're at, but God sees where you're at and where he's taking you. And so because he sees where he's taking you, then he will talk things into your life and speak things into your life that you're thinking can be impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Now, there's one more famous person I wanted to quote. I thought this was necessary. It sounded like a good thing. It kept ringing in my ears. So y'all let me indulge in this. My mama said, boy, don't let your mouth write a check. Your behind can't cash. Oh, come on, y'all. Sometimes you got a whip, and you got a nay-nay. That was dumb, yeah. All right. So that was that. DC said, Daddy, can you work it in? So I just... All right. All right. So now, again, your words are so powerful. Now, everybody in here experiences pain, heartache. How many's ever been misunderstood? How many's ever noticed stumbling blocks in your life and setbacks? We all do that. And actually, you know, life is 5% what happens to you and 95% how you respond. Did you know that? You say, well, if I just had the same advantages they had, or I had the same opportunity that they had, or if I was in that family, or all these things, but you realize life is 5% what happens to you, 95% how you respond, and you know our tongue plays a major role in that 95%? Your mouth is your greatest friend and your biggest enemy, and sometimes at the same time. The Bible says that sweet water and bitter water, James says, doesn't flow out at the same time from the same stream. Well, you know what? I know that sometimes sweet water is coming from here. Sweet words. And right while I'm talking sweet words, here comes those bitter words or those negative words. And I try my best, and I'm human, and I hope y'all are all human. We try our best, but we still have that little bitty problem of our mouth gets in the way. So because your mouth gets in the way, watch this. Did you know that you can lengthen, you can broaden, you can deepen the gap between your trial and your testimony? Every trial you go through, there's a testimony waiting. Every time you have a problem, there's a testimony waiting. And so many times, this can hurt you because the trial will be a lot shorter if we learn to keep our mouth. Yeah, amen. How many's ever said that? Well, I just need to learn to keep my mouth. Amen. Or I need to learn how to speak words of faith. Yeah, encouragement. Yeah, faith, encouragement. So the gap between your chest and your testimony, the gap between your trial and your testimony, you have a lot to play with it when you open your... Amen. So, and with attitudes, you have a lot to do with your attitude by how you control your mouth. Okay, y'all getting good at this, all right? So now, in that gap, there's going to be pain. There's going to be self-pity. Anybody felt sorry for themselves while they're going through their trial? Amen. Excuses. Well, the reason I'm going through this is because, well, I just didn't live up to what God wanted. Or somebody else, they caused me to go through this. And then sometimes we actually, we want to blame somebody instead of making an excuse. We want to blame them. And then there's sometimes we just flat out attack people. You're the reason I'm going through this. You're the reason I'm having to fight this bad. You're the reason. Let me tell you something. God has given you the ability to shorten or lengthen your trial by the length of your tongue. Amen? You have the opportunity. You can make it better or you can make it worse. And I've seen people that actually, you know, because the Bible tells us very carefully and shows us very gingerly that words wound and words heal. They either wound or they heal. Sometimes they do both. They bless or they curse. They build or they destroy. They redeem or they ruin. You go to somebody and tell them constantly, they're no good, they're nothing, they'll never amount to anything. You're sorry you ever met them. You're sorry whatever. I guarantee you, they're not going to be wanting to come up and hug on you. You tell your child, you'll never be able to do it. Never, 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 never. Some of us, sometimes we get in trial or we get, one of our kids are messing with us or our spouse or our work, and we move into Neverland. What's Neverland? It'll never work. God will never bless me. I can never get out of this thing. I will always have problems. I will never find a day when I can be at peace. If you move into Neverland, I promise you, you're going to have a bad day. You got to learn when you're in your trials to watch how you talk. Because how you talk can even decide if you're going to look, it's like the woman in the grocery store and the baby screaming all the way down to I want something. I want this. I want this. I want this. The little girl, I want this. I want this. I want this. And mama, I got to have this. She's kicking and screaming. And the woman kept saying, okay, Mary, it's going to be okay, Mary. Okay, Mary, it's going to be okay, Mary. Okay, Mary, she goes on every hour. What? The girl's screaming. And she keeps saying, okay, Mary, it's going to be okay, Mary. Calm down, Mary. Remember, speak positive words, Mary. It's going to be fine. When she gets to the checkout, somebody says, I cannot help but I followed you and I saw how upset your child was and how you just was calm and you said, okay, Mary, it'll be okay. Okay, Mary. Trust God. Okay, Mary, speak positive words. She said, that little Mary's blessed to have you for mother. She says, Mary is not my daughter. Mary's me. Okay, Mary, it's going to be fine. Calm down. Amen. So, like I remember the time we went in Roses and I had DC on my back and Daniel was on my shoulders. And I forgot he was on my shoulders. And so DC and Daniel were both talking to me and then I can't remember if he wanted to get down or what happened, but I was doing something with DC and I said, where'd Daniel go? And I'm walking all around looking for Daniel. And then Daniel goes, he was on my shoulders. All right, so here we go. We just read it. Proverbs 18:21 is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible because it tells you, remember, if you can't remember anything else, this will lengthen or shorten your trial faster than anything you go through. It also, not only will it lengthen and shorten your trial, it will cause you to be blessed. It will stop your blessing. It can even cause you to be cursed, and it can increase your curse, and it can delete back you really. Now look, God's calling the shots, yes, but He gives us the power of our tongue because we have free will. We all got free will. And so you got to understand, your mouth can write a check that your hind part can't cash. I used to laugh when Mama told me that, and the older I get, it's no longer a joke. It's no longer funny like that, because I realize how I talk to my wife, how I talk to my kids, how I talk to people will determine how the trial is going to go when I'm going through these people. So it's extremes, life and death. I mean, you can't get much more extreme than that, life or death. And it says you're going to get the fruit of it. Okay? Fruit means that something had to be a seed. So the seed, I am spitting seeds out with every word I say. And if I speak negative seeds and terrible seeds to people and I just speak this horrible stuff, you might think, well, once I got off my chest, I'm fine. I've heard it say that. I've even said it myself. Well, once I got off my chest, I'm fine. But the problem is the seeds are still growing somewhere. So I might be feeling better, but I've wounded somebody's spirit, and it's terrible. Amen. So you got to be careful. You got to watch what you're doing. So here we go. We're gonna dive in for just another hour and a half, 2 hours. If you get hungry, we got donuts back there. Don't forget, if you come in at 10 on Sunday mornings, there will be donuts and something else. There's muffins back there. There's donuts. There's orange juice. There's coffee. So you say, well, 10:30, I don't get a chance to eat breakfast. Come at 10 and get you some breakfast. It's okay. It's free. Go on back there and get you something. All right, it'll be good. Don't go back there now because I'm preaching. We'll see you in a minute, preacher. We're going to come back in 5 minutes later going, that's good stuff. Yeah. All right. I'll give you a break. If I'm going to preach for a long time, I'll give you a break. All right. So yeah, here we go. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I want you to watch this now. This right here will revolutionize the way you talk to yourself. I would get you to raise your hand how many talk to yourself, and you say, well, I'm not going to say I talk to myself. Everybody talks to themselves constantly, every day. Matter of fact, you talk to yourself more than anybody else. All right? So now, death or the place or state of Hades. Death, hell is in the power of the tongue. Hell! Wow. It's pestilence, ruin, to kill, to put to, or worthy of death, a destroyer, surely, and sometimes very suddenly, your tongue has the power of hell in it. I'm a Christian, I have you know. Yes, you are a Christian, but you still have the power of hell in that tongue. You know what God said? I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. It's there. Then it says life. Well, life means alive, fresh, strong, life maintenance. Wow. You know what? I think about that. I spend a lot of my time in counseling and other things doing maintenance, using my tongue to do maintenance in people's lives, talking about building them up or showing them how to do things or how to handle situations. So maintenance, some of y'all in here, you've had people this week, you tried to show them certain things and how to do things. You know what you were doing? You were actually doing maintenance and didn't even know it. It means to revive, to give promise, to nourish up, to preserve alive, to quicken, to recover, repair, restore to life. So wow. Oh, in that little bitty thing lies the power of hell and lies the power of life. I choose how to use it. Not you. I choose how to use my mouth. I choose. You choose. You can say, well, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, when I started losing weight. When I got sick, I lost some weight. And I said, I said, Lord, can you give me a jump start? I don't know how in the world to get started on this thing. I'm having problems getting started. I got sick. They couldn't find it. Went to four doctors, and they finally said, let Jesus heal you. Of course, that same day, he said, let Jesus heal you. It cost me $3,000. I don't know how in the world I ought to send the bill to Jesus. But I said, you know what? I've lost some weight. I'll go ahead and keep on. I'll keep on, keep on. And in my head, I heard, but you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and you're over 55 and you might as well forget it. You're not going to lose any weight. And I said, no, we're not going there. I lose some weight and lost 20 more pounds. In fact, Daniel was really cool today. He used his tongue. I'm not sure if it was good or bad. I said, look at this shirt. I said, I ain't wore this shirt in 6 months. And he said, well, Dad, you wore it 6 months ago. In other words, it didn't fit unless you wore it. Amen. But you see, and when I get up in the morning, and when I've decided, I tell myself, I don't have to eat all that stuff anymore. I don't have to be a slave to my appetite. And so I tell myself that, and when I get hungry, I drink some water, and I say, look, I don't have to be that way. I'm not gonna live my life and shorten it or the quality of my life because I just can't stop eating. So I'm just gonna stop eating. I'm gonna try to eat what I should and eat how I should. So again, death and life. I talk to myself in a positive way instead of talking to myself negative. You say, well, I don't talk to myself. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. How many of you have ever heard when you've done something wrong and said, that was crazy, or that was stupid, or that was dumb? You won't do that again, will you? That's what you're hearing in your head. Or maybe you should get somebody else because you ain't got what it takes. You hear all that stuff every day. You got to learn to talk back to yourself and talk about some positive stuff. Because it says, life and death in the power. That word means direction, the ability. It actually means a hand. Hail. In life, death and life are in the power of that little bitty thing called the tongue. Now, when you see tongue, you think about speech, language, communication. So all this stuff is right there. It's for you. It says that they that love it are going to eat the fruit thereof. Now, that word eat means to burn up, to consume, to devour, but that word fruit, that fruit means a reward. It means to bear, to grow up, the evidence. The first fruit, wow, the first fruit, meaning, you might not even realize it, but when your mouth gets in gear, you're going to be the first one to partake of it. Wow. So if you're being negative, full of doubt, full of unbelief, and you're speaking it, guess what? You're the first one that's going to partake of it. Wow. You may think, I'm just going to give him a piece of my mind. Well, number one, you might cannot afford to give him that much. But you see, words, your words are seeds. And so you give out this stuff and you're talking negative. And you don't realize that as you're talking negative, you are actually controlling your attitude. You say, well, I'll just wrap them up. I'll wind them up. I'll just let them know how it is. And I'll be through with it. I'll be fine. But you don't realize that you're controlling your own attitude when you do that. You are making a difference in your own self just by your words. Wow. Just by your words. So here we go. We're going to do this kind of quick, and I'm not going to go through all the scriptures. There's paper back there. It's got all the scriptures on it. If you want to see it, it's back there. Just grab it on your way out the door. But I want you to see something here. This is very powerful. Look at this. Eliminate negative, dysfunctional speech. I started to put the Grim Reaper up there, and then I thought about that. I was going through and I looked and saw poison. Warning. And I said, you know what? How many times has that come out of my mouth? I know I'm the only one. I'm just going to turn around and talk to the wall. I'm the only one that spews poison out when I'm talking. I'm the only one that just lets it get the best of me. I'm the only one. But you see, right then, I'm talking negative to myself. I'm the only one because the truth is, everyone. Everyone. Y'all help me. Everyone. Matter of fact, y'all help me out. If you've ever been guilty of poison coming out of that mouth, just raise your hand. Y'all look around. There's not a hand held down. Amen. So now watch this now. Now look. How many lives, relationships, marriages, families, churches, businesses are torn apart or tore apart because of that little thing right there? You know, when I do marriage counseling, I find out usually, watch this, this is wild. Not using this is usually what starts it. We don't talk anymore. We don't communicate. We got nothing to say to each other. Yeah, you do. I've got nothing to be thankful for. I've got this out. You know, had a guy come in one day and said, I've got nothing to be thankful for. I just will just go ahead and say, God, take me out of here. I got nothing to be thankful for. I said, I'm sorry. I didn't know your wife died. He said, she didn't. I said, oh, well, why don't you write that down? I got a wife. I said, I'm sorry she cooks bad food for you and you just can't stand to eat it. She said, no, she's a great cook. I said, write it down. I said, I'm sorry your house burnt down. He said, my house didn't burn down. I said, really? He said, I got a nice house. I said, write it down. I said, I'm sorry your kids are all into drugs and alcohol and they're in jail and you can't find. No, my kids are doing great. They've got education. They're out. I said, write it down. I said, well, I'm sorry that your job is so bad that you can't even stand. He said, my job's great. I said, well, write that down. By the time we got through, we had a whole list. I said, well, you just told me you had nothing to be thankful for. Nothing. He said, yeah. I said, well, read that list. I said, read it out loud. Read it again. And again. And again. And again. And he went, wow. I was about to talk myself out of life. So, many times marriages start falling apart because of lack of this. And then when it does get in gear, we get this disease that I'm deadly bad about. And that is, we get diarrhea of the mouth and constipation of the brain. We just, bah, let them have it. Bah, bah. When you get through them, ask you a question. Do you feel any better? No. Most of the time you will. Matter of fact, usually how that happens is once that happens because you were quiet, and then when you finally do talk, you don't talk like you're supposed to, and it gets crazy, and then after it gets crazy, you think of what you said, and then you go, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that. Wow. But all you had to do is put that little thing in gear and speak some positive. Right to start with. You see, what kind of speech do we need to eliminate in order to get rid of that negative dysfunctional speech? And I'm going to go through it quickly, so I'm not going to bear down. Y'all are going to think, oh, Lord, here we go. Nah, we're going to get 10 things, then we're going to talk some positive, okay? I just want you to know you got to know the negative so you can go to the positive, right? Right? Okay, here we go. Get ready. The Bible identifies 10 negative forms of speech. And I'm getting ready to talk to everybody right now. Get ready. Have you ever seen somebody just won't stop talking? With the exception, no. Why the preacher is having a mission service and he has this. Okay. Okay. Remember your tongue. That's awesome. But the preacher has this missions conference. He's raising money. And he's trying to raise, not missions, excuse me, for building fund. He's trying to raise money for the building fund. And so he has this fancy speaker come in. This fancy speaker comes in and he gets up and starts talking. He won't quit talking. And it's time to receive the offer to receive this money. He won't quit talking. And so finally, there's some guys, the preacher and the deacon are sitting there and he said, this guy won't quit talking. We can't raise money. They're all leaving. People are leaving. He's been talking for an hour and a half. Says we need him to be quiet so we can receive an offering. And so the deacon says, I tell you what, Next time he walks by, he's walking back and forth and preaching. He said, next time he walks by, throw this hymn book at him. He says, okay, because he kept waving. He won't pay attention. So when he walked by, he threw the hymn book at him. And when he did, the guy turned around to make another point, and he missed it. And he hit one of the biggest men in the city, the mayor, sitting on the front row. He hits the mayor right between the eyes of that songbook and knocks him right in the floor. They rushed down and said, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. The mayor said, hit me again, I can still hear that fellow talking. Okay, here we go, quickly. Okay, the very first thing is verbosity. I know you can say, what is verbosity? It's talking too much. Everything cannot be solved with just speech. The Bible says when the Antichrist comes on the white horse, he's going to be riding the white horse. He's got a bow and no arrow, meaning he's not going to do it with power. He's going to do it with his tongue, and we see this happening right now. Okay? You know, there was a lady asked a man working in the produce department if she could buy half a head of lettuce. He replied, half a head? Are you serious? God grows these things in whole heads, and that's how we sell them. She said, after all these years I've shopped here, you won't sell me a half a head of lettuce? He said, look, I have to go ask the manager. So she indicated she'd be appreciative if he would listen. The young man marched to the front of the store, and he said, you won't believe this, but there's a lame, brain idiot of a lady back there who wants to know if she can buy a half a head of lettuce. He noticed the manager gesturing and turned around to see the lady standing behind him. Obviously, she had followed him. So he said, and this nice lady here was wondering if she could buy the other half. Later that day, the manager cornered the young man and said, that was the finest example of thinking on your feet I've ever seen. Where'd you learn that? He said, I grew up in Grand Rapids. And if you know anything about Grand Rapids, you know that it's known for its great hockey teams and its ugly women. The manager, his face got flushed, and he interrupted and said, my wife is from Grand Rapids. And the guy says, well, which hockey team does she play for? Other than just getting up preaching and don't know when the clock's striking, there's sometimes people, they just, because they don't know the answer, they just fill it in with a bunch of words. You've never learned, you don't learn anything from what to say. They're just going at it so fast you can't even think. That's verbosity. And so God says, don't talk too much, and especially if you don't know what you're talking about. Amen? And so then, verbosity, then there's gossip. Gossip betrays confidence. It separates close friends. Without a fire, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. What happens is we start feeling like we've been done wrong, and we want to make sure that people are on our side, not their side, so we go and tell them just how bad we had it. And then the other person goes and says, you know, that's really bad. Let me tell somebody else. Let me tell somebody else. Let me tell about somebody else. You know, I used to hear years ago back in the Church of God, they said three means of communication: telegraph, telephone, tell a woman. You remember hearing that joke from way on back? Is this one of those times where I should have kept my mouth shut? Okay, look, I changed it. Ladies, I changed it. I changed it. Here's how I changed it. Telegraph, telephone, tell a church member. And they'll go out and tell everybody, and everybody outside will know more about your church than you do, and they're not spiritual, and they're going to tell everybody else how it's going to be. And so gossip's terrible, all right? And then there is slander. Slander, of course, is where we get the word blasphemy. It's blasphemia in the Greek, but it's where we get the word blaspheme, and it can be toward God or it can be toward others. The devil's name is diabolos in the Greek, which means slander or false accuser. Revelation 12 and 10 says, the accuser of the brethren. An evil tongue slays three: the slanderer, the slandered, and the listener. Wow. You know, I heard the guy say, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more. And he says, I can't. I've already told you more than I heard. All right. All right. Get ready. I know these are not going to be so fun, but the ones going to be fun are coming up. Okay. So let's get through the tough stuff here. Judgment. Did you know we're not qualified to judge people? We are fruit inspectors. We are to see fruit and know if this guy here, if he's living the life, then I know I want to be around him. If he's not living life, I don't necessarily need to be around him. God says that we can discern, but he tells us never to judge. There's a difference in discernment and judging. We talked about it a couple of Tuesday nights ago. Discernment is, I look at the fruit and I can tell that if that's actually an apple tree that says he's an apple tree, but if he's bearing cherries, he's not an apple tree. I can discern. All right? But judgment is when you actually pass judgment. They're nothing. They're no good. They're sorry. They'll never be anything. That's judgment. You know what? We don't know all the facts about anyone's life or situation. We base our judgment on speculation, assumption, and often hearsay. Think about it. That's powerful. The law of God, that's why the law of God says everything should be established between two or three witnesses. You know, a vacuum salesman appeared at the door of an old lady's cottage and without allowing the woman to even speak, rushed into the living room. He was doing that verbosity. He went right to the living room and he threw a large bag of dirt all over her clean carpet. And he said, if this new vacuum cleaner doesn't pick up every bit of dirt that I just threw down, I'll eat every speck of that dirt. The woman, who by this time was losing her patience, said, sir, if I had enough money to buy that thing, I would have paid my electricity bill before they cut it off. Now, which would you prefer, a spoon, a knife, or a fork? You'll get it. Okay, here we go. We're moving on. I know this is not, these aren't the favorite ones to be around. So of course, criticism. You know, too many times we're critical of people, and it's unhealthy. Criticism tears down instead of building up. It's okay to do positive reinforcement, and actually give me something positive. I even ask people, guy, all right, I need you to critique it. Critique it and criticism is two different things. To critique it, I'm asking you, tell me what you think. How did it work? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? That's healthy. That's positive. But criticism tears down instead of building up. A guy came to his pastor and said, Reverend, I only have one talent. The pastor said, what's your talent? The man said, I have the gift of criticism. The pastor was wise and replied, the Bible says that the guy who only had one talent went out and buried it. Maybe that's what you ought to do with yours. So, criticism, complaints. Complaining can become a very bad habit. We're told to do everything without complaining and arguing. And then, of course, there's anger. The Bible says to be angry but sin not, because anger itself can lead us to sin if it's not addressed. Anger words can be caused by either a quick outburst or deep-seated pent-up feelings. And what I've decided is, and I've learned, is usually if somebody goes off on me, it usually isn't me. I'm going to help y'all. If somebody's gone off on you lately, just remember, usually it's not you. They've had all they can take, and you were the last straw. Okay? So they may be attacking you, but they're actually attacking somebody else, and you just happen to be the one. That last drop in that bucket before it went out. And then, of course, there's filthy language. Colossians 3:8 tells us to watch out for profane words. And profanity comes from the two Latin words, pro, in front of or outside of, and phantom, which is temple. So profanity is speech unworthy and unfit for the holy place. Wow. So watch how you talk. What you say. And then deceit. Do not lie to each other. You shall not give false testimony. The biggest and the worst one for the child of God is coming up right now. And that is doubt. Do you know that whenever you begin to doubt, you waver between faith and doubt, you create instability in your life. There's a lot of Christians that have an unstable Christian life because they or wavering between faith and doubt. It brings fear. It brings confusion. It brings anger. So here we go. I'm trying to hurry up. Here we go. Ready? Watch this. How do I talk? I want you to remember this formula. Matter of fact, I should have made this formula and brought it to you and had it out there too. Think. Before you speak, think. Anybody ever said think before you speak? You know what that word think means? T, is it true? Before I speak, is it true? Do I know it's true? I had somebody tell me one time, it was one church member years ago, one church member talking about another church member, and they said, I know for a fact. And that's how he said it. I know for a fact. And I said, really? I said, what you're talking about is something very private. Were you in there? And they said, no. I said, did you actually see it? They said, no. I said, were you even around them when this happened? They said, no. I said, then how do you know it for a fact? And they said, point well taken. Number one, is it true? Is it helpful? Is me talking about it going to help or hurt? Who am I helping, me or helping them? Number I or I, is it inspiring? N, is it even necessary? And K, is it kind? So here we go. We're getting ready to talk about how life-giving. See the stork? Bring a little baby. Amen. That was an awful big stork brought me. Amen. Had to use two storks to bring DC. Okay. Express positive, constructive speech. So here we go. Get ready. This is good stuff. I told you we're going to end on a positive note. All right. John 6:63 says, the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. And then 1 Corinthians 13:13, talking about love, is a model how to speak words that bring life. So here we go. Get ready. If you want to turn the table on your tongue, watch this. First, speak words of faith. Communicate in ways that inspire faith in God. And start talking positive to yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Start. You know, I don't need to necessarily beat up on that person. That person's having a hard enough time as it is. You know, I got really upset one time with one of DC's coaches. Because I'm a parent too, I didn't get very Christ-like, I have to admit. And I apologize to the guy later. But I remember when the first time I was zeroing in to talk to him, I was really upset. And as I started watching, I was getting ready to go talk to this coach. He had two little girls that I'd never seen, his girls, come up and start loving on him. And he picked them up and he loved on them and he kissed both of them and he put them down. And his wife come up and she put her arm around him. And then all of a sudden, he went from being a coach to being a man. And all of a sudden, I saw things different. And it even affected the way I talked. So I spoke words of faith, not words of anger. All right? Then, words of hope. Communicate in ways that bring encouragement, enthusiasm, optimism. Believe the best about situations and people. You know, there's certain people in your life, you will always give them the benefit of the doubt. Think about it. I hear people talk about certain people. Well, they really didn't mean that, or they're having a bad day. And there's certain people that they in their life that they never give them the benefit of the doubt. Learn to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. Just until you find out different. Hope means that things can change for the better because God, with God, all things are possible. All right? Speak words of love. The greatest of all virtues is love. Paul describes love in the passage of 1 Corinthians 13 with kind, loving words. So watch. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, instead of putting love is, put speak words that are. Matter of fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. Get your Bible out. 1 Corinthians 13, we're closing. 1 Corinthians, y'all go ahead and start thinking about some good music here. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand it all, and have all faith so that I can move mountains, and have not charity, I have nothing. Okay, so watch this. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profit me nothing. Now, watch this. I want y'all to say this with me. Instead of charity or love, I want you to say my speech, okay? My speech suffereth long. My speech is kind. My speech envieth not. My speech vaunteth not itself. My speech is not puffed up. My speech does not behave itself unseemly. My speech does not seek your own. My speech is not easily provoked. My speech thinketh no evil. My speech rejoiceth not in iniquity. My speech rejoiceth in the truth. My speech beareth all things. My speech believeth all things. My speech hopes all things. My speech endures all things. My speech never fails. Because my speech is backed by God's Word. Wow. Wow, that's powerful. That's some powerful, powerful stuff. You know, and I'm closing. I want you to think about this. I wrote this all down just so you could. I just wanted you to see this. I wanted you to read this. Consider the promise and the caution. Those that love it will eat its fruit. Those that love that talk. Ready? Those who enjoy talking will reap the harvest of their words. There is the law of sowing and reaping. Words are like seeds sown that produce a harvest. When James finishes his discourse on the power of the tongue, he says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." Wow. Your words today can set a harvest in motion for tomorrow. So here's what a lot of people pray as they're walking out of church every Sunday. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Wow. You see, I got a question for you. Here's how we're going to end with this question. If you are what you eat, then what would you eat? What would you be if you ate your words? If you are what you eat, what would you be if you ate your words? Wow. And I'll leave that one alone. I ain't got to add to it. You can think about it. Matter of fact, I hope you chew on that. Get it? I hope you chew on that thought. Okay. That's all, stand. God is awesome all the time. This morning, I'm not going to give a specific altar call. I'm just going to say, if you got a need from God, why don't you come in this altar? If you've had something said today, and you ain't got to tell anybody else, but you heard something today that actually making you think in a different way and thinking of how God can help you to be better in your life, to shorten your trials and to help shorten other people's trials and to lead them in the right way, whatever, I want you to come pray. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray. Whether there's something that you need or somebody else needs or you just want to come and thank God. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. Come on. Let's pray. And if we hadn't had communion, it would have been about 11:30. But I praise God for communion. Come on. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we have hope in you, Lord. I thank you also, God, that, Lord, we can know that it's not just what we hear, it's what we say. Father, I love you. I praise your name. Okay. 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 Gotcha. Yeah, good. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, you are more than enough. You are more than enough. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint Father Harry Collins, Lord. Let us. Okay, be careful.
I want to treat me in the way and have right for me. She's had the surgery on the top of her pelvis. Gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Oh, let it reach out.
Sing it, church.
To the highest mountain. Oh, let it reach out. To the lowest valley.
Oh, the blood
that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose. It will never lose. I say it will never never lose its pride.
Amen. Amen, amen. That's awesome. Now remember, I want you to go home and think about it. If we are what we eat, what would we be if we ate our words? Wow. Wow. Will we be faithful? Will we be full of faith and authority, or will we be doubtful? God's awesome. Tonight, around 5:30, we're going to open up the church for the Super Bowl party. I know some of you already have parties playing other places. That's fine. But we have the Super Bowl party here, and we're going to have it playing. And around 6:30, we're going to have a devotion. But please come. This is, remember, we stopped having church on Sunday nights, except for the first Sunday night of the month. This is the first Sunday night of the month. It's Super Bowl night. We were going to show War Wagon, or prayer, not War Wagon, that's John Wayne. War Room. I got John Wayne on the line. War Wagon's good, too. We showed that one night, too. War Room. But because it's Super Bowl night, I know people want to have a Super Bowl party. Come on out here. We got stuff. It's going to be awesome. Bring stuff. Bring a finger food. Just bring it up for you and somebody else will have plenty. Please come. It's our one Sunday night a month, and it's important that we support it. Amen. So tonight's Super Bowl. You don't have to stay for the whole Super Bowl. If you want to watch part of it and go home, that's fine. A lot of times people come and they'll leave at halftime, and then they get home and watch the rest of it. That's fine. But tonight, Super Bowl party. And of course, Carolina's up there. Isn't that cool? And Peyton Manning, Moses, is playing on the other side. So we got Carolina Panthers and Moses. And so I'm kind of torn between the two, you know. And what's even more awesome is he's talking about retiring and somebody else wants to get him. The Colts want him. So I'm telling you, isn't that awesome? He's speaking positive words. Amen. You think he's going to get there and go, I can't catch this ball. I can't throw this ball. No. No, he's going, y'all get ready. A jet's coming. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Steve.
Father God, we just praise and love you, Lord. And Lord, we pray that as we leave this place today, that we speak words, encouraging words, good words, words of faith to those that we meet and in their lives that we touch every day. And Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise for what you do in our lives every day. And Lord, we thank you for the ability to just reach out and touch someone and share you with them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.